Hi, you're listening to the My Cricket Coach Show, and you can find us at pitchvision.com. My name is David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath from Australia. Coming up on the show, we have five questions with Ryan Marin, and we have a chat with Ian Pond, and we have a special surprise for you guys, and we also answer your questions. Well, David, I've been reading Ian Pond's book, The Fast Bowler's Bible. It's been pretty eye-opening, and it's been disheartening at times because I've realised how much I've missed in my game for the past 10 years or so. But yeah, this week, my target has been working on my hang time.
Okay.
And I must tell you, I've never had hang time in my bowling, ever. And I tried it this time, and it was like I was going back to basics. It was like I was a three-year-old kid trying to learn to play cricket. It was just so hard.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that time, isn't it, where you get to the end of your run-up, and you've got to get to the crease, and you jump and get yourself moving forwards.
Yeah.
And it's not about... A lot of people think it's about height.
Yeah.
You know, to have an impressive jump up, but it's not like a jump for a high jumper. It's more like closer to the jump of a long jumper, isn't it, where you're covering as much distance as you can rather than in the air.
Yeah, that's right.
Rather than jumping up in the air. Because, as you say, it's about getting that forward momentum going.
Yeah, he emphasises on that point as well, where he says he's seen bowlers that jump up rather than forwards, and that wastes momentum as well. And a bowler I've been watching recently on YouTube and international cricket in general is Zahir Khan, and he's really risen in international cricket at the moment, and he's got really good hang time, and you can really see his momentum going forward, and that really helps him in all the areas of the game, his pace, his swing, and he's really getting everything right because of that. So yeah, Ian's spot on again. So what about you, David? You played on the weekend. What was the result? Win, draw, or was it rain again?
No, we've had very good weather actually. So fingers crossed that's gonna keep going throughout the summer, especially with the Ashes coming up.
Yeah.
But we won. We managed to win quite easily on Saturday, which was excellent news. We're playing one of the weaker teams in our league, but we're a bit worried because we had quite a weakened side out as well. We probably had 5 or 6 regular players out, so we had to sort of call up a lot of players from the third 11. So we had a fairly weakened side. So we were a bit worried, and we lost the toss, and they decided to bat, and it was a very, very poor quality looking wicket. It was green. It looked like it had been used quite recently, and the outfield was pretty horrible as well. We were playing an away game.
Yeah.
So they batted first, and they managed 133 before we bowled them out. And we were terrible as well. We were really bad in the field. We missed chances. We weren't looking sharp. Generally poor. Although pretty much all the bowlers bowled well. So they didn't give them many chances to score easily. Their batsmen were even worse than our fielding was, which was pretty bad. And they only managed 133 in 40 overs. We bowled them out in 40 overs. So that gave us 60 overs to get 133 runs. Didn't really look in any trouble. We opening stand of 131.
Whoa.
And then the guy who was in number three, one of the openers got out. The guy who was in number three came out and got out first ball. And then the guy who's in number four came out. That was the end of the over. And the other opening batsman hit the winning run. So the number four batsman didn't face a ball. And we won by 8 wickets.
Yeah. How's your personal form, David? Have you managed to get your first catch as a keeper yet in the season?
Amazingly, no. Still haven't had a genuine catching opportunity come to me, which is unbelievable considering we're almost halfway through the season. But I did miss it. Unfortunately, I missed a stumping. So. I wasn't too pleased about that. But luckily, you know, if you're gonna miss a stumping, the time to do it is when the opposition are, I don't know, 7 wickets down for about 120 or something like that. You know, it's not too major a problem. So I think we should all put that game behind us. They're men, us, and move on because it's very, very poor standard. So anyway, we've got this special announcement to make, which if you're eagle-eyed or you're a subscriber to my cricket coach, the newsletter there or the website, you'll know exactly what this is already. We have signed up Mike Brearley to be our captaincy consultant on Pitch Vision Academy. Now, Mike is pretty well known around the world, but if you're not sure who Mike is, he is a former England captain who most famously was captain during the 1981 Ashes, where Ian Botham and Bob Willis turned the series around from being in a terrible predicament and looking like they were going to lose completely to winning the series. Part of that, a big part of that, was Brearley's captaincy. And he was also captain of Middlesex for many, many years. He was captain of Cambridge University, then he was captain of Middlesex for many, many years. And he won a lot of silverware there, including four county championships with Middlesex, which is quite a difficult thing to do, to win four county championships, because you remember at the time there were 17 counties. So probably one of the finest captains alive today in the world, I would say. And he has done a coaching course for us, or an online course for us, all about captaincy, how to captain. So it doesn't matter whether you are a test level captain, or even if you've just been selected as your captain for your school team for the first time, or you're a club captain, anywhere in between, there's going to be loads and loads of stuff in there that you can use to improve your captaincy. I think the best part about it is that we've got absolutely loads of exclusive stuff. We've done some video content with him, and we've done some audio interviews with him, which are all going to appear on the coaching course as part of the course, as well as all the interactive stuff, all the lessons, all the chapters, just like you've seen with all the other Pitch Vision Academy stuff. So it's really, really exciting for me, and it was even more exciting that I got to meet him and speak to him over several meetings and really sort of try and get into his head and understand about the captaincy side of the game. But to give you a little taster of that, what we've done is we've lined up part of the audio, part of one of the audio interviews with Mike, and we're going to play that a little bit later on the show.
Yep. But before that, David, we have our five question section with Ryan Marin, the South African coach who's currently coaching in Holland. And if any of you guys want to get coaching from Ryan, if you're in South Africa or Holland, please visit www.cricketschool.co.za. I'm sure you'll find his information useful, so let's have a look at what he has to say.
Ryan Marin is an ex-first-class cricketer for Western Province in South Africa, who now runs a coaching school throughout the country. At the moment, he's in Holland, coaching and playing. So, Ryan, how good are Holland at 2020 cricket at the moment?
They're definitely improving the game. They've come a long way over the last few years under their coach, Peter Drinnen from Australia. As people can see, they put up a good game against England, and they are definitely a team to look at for the future. I think they've improved in all aspects of the game. And Holland not being a huge cricketing nation, they're on the right track and improving every year.
What do you think makes a good cricket coach?
Yeah, a good cricket coach is an individual who has a lot of authority and also a lot of respect from his players, and somebody who's hands-on, and also somebody, a coach who's organised and allows to use external services to improve his players.
You coach a lot of young players. What makes a someone stand out to you from the crowd?
I think a player with good technique and somebody who knows where he wants to go with his game. So many good young cricketers around. A player who knows his game.
And what's the best coaching advice that you ever got?
There's no shortcut to success. You need to put in the hard work to get success. Put the hard miles in, you'll get the results.
So how can players practice to put in the hard work? What practice can they do to improve?
Well, clearly you only get a few hours a week these days with these cricketers. Basically, using facilities like Pitch Vision and watching cricket videos and going onto the internet and trying to get as much knowledge as possible and as many tips as possible. That's how you can improve your game. You can't just sit on your backside and expect to improve your game. You need to get up there, watch your videos, watch your coaching, read up on coaching tips, and get into the nets and practice those techniques.
All right, Maren, those are your five questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Ryan, for your time. David, as you know, we always have a chat with Ian Pond, but before we have a chat with Ian, he has a website as well, so if you guys want to get coaching from Ian Pond, the fast bowling guru, his website is mavericscricket.com, and he's just, I want to meet him. I wish I was in England, but if he came to Australia, I'd definitely be in any of his workshops. But we have him on the line, David, is that right?
Yeah, he's joining me on the line now. Welcome back to the show, Ian.
Thanks, David.
This week we have a controversial area for you to look at. There's a trend
Great.
In yes, there's a trend in modern cricket to develop bowlers with safe actions to protect lower backs. Mm. However, many coaches have started to argue that this style of action is too manufactured to develop genuine pace. Where do you stand?
Well, I've got very strong views on this, and my views are the role of any good fast bowling coach is to prevent injury. I mean, you know, as coaches, David, we clearly have to correct actions that are causing injury or likely to cause injury. So any coach that says, oh, I'm not a fan of this injury prevention business, shouldn't be coaching, because we have to, we have a duty of care as a coach to ensure that the lad that's bowling isn't going to be in a wheelchair by the time he's 30. And we have to make sure the bowling actions are safe within certain guidelines, and that's the clue. If coaches are saying that everybody's going to look the same and we're cloning bowling actions by correcting them, no, we're not. As coaches, we should say to people, within this framework, bowl how you like, front on, sideways on, semi-midway position, whatever you want to call it, look inside your arm, outside your arm. There's levels of tolerance, and I think within back foot impact, front foot impact, and release of the ball, there's something like 2,500 variations of bowling action. So I don't know how that is cloning people, and I don't know how that is stifling talent. What I would say is if your hips and shoulders are lined up, all points through your action, you're not really going to have too many back injuries. There is a massive prevalence at the moment, and I run the MCI Academy every year in January through to March. Mm-hmm. Whenever we get a fast bowler in, there's a huge prevalence. When I ask the question, has anyone here got any types of injuries? At least half a dozen hands go up and say, yeah, lower back. I've had an injury. I've got a stiff back. Every time I bowl, it's sore the next day. I can't bowl a second spell. These are classic examples of potential stress fractures. Right. And there's either an impacting injury where people are just bowling too much indoors, because people bowl a heck of a lot indoors. Or it's a twisting injury where their hips and shoulders are separating at different angles and they're creating tension in the soft tissues of the back or even in the vertebrae itself. So I wouldn't get too technical on that. But it is a duty for any coach to make sure that kids are trying to go through in straight lines. And this is why I bang on about technique so much. I also think the reason we pick up a lot of these things is that we're monitoring them a lot better. I do believe that 20 or 30 years ago, people bowled with stress fractures and never realized. I think what happened was people said, oh, my back's a bit stiff, a bit sore, and they just bowled through it. But I think we are getting a lot more of these cases appear. It comes from having incorrect actions or actions that are outside certain guidelines. I don't think the guidelines of themselves are to blame. Yes, you'll have someone with an unusual action. And if that's natural, as long as it's safe, that's fine. We're not trying to coach naturalness out of kids. We're trying to coach injury out of kids. And just because you change something doesn't make it worse.
All right. Thanks, Ian, for your time. And now for the much anticipated sample of Mike Brearley captaincy audio sample. So if you want to purchase the whole course, please visit www.pitchvision.com/academy.
Bowlers in general, length of spells. What do you feel about that?
Length of spells is interesting. One of the revolutions that 2020 cricket has brought to the game is that bowlers are now totally expecting to bowl one over spells. Not always, but quite often. Mm. The maximum is going to be four over spells, but they might bowl four one over spells.
Yeah.
Zahir Khan, I think, did it in one of the matches. And it was the English bowlers did it, I think, in the match against India. Mm. Or one or two. They did either that or they bowled two overs and then one over and then one over. Mm. And so the requirement for a bowler to be able to be stretched and ready to bowl flat out first ball is a new requirement. In the old days, they often took an over or two to warm up, at least some bowlers did. Mm. And so you couldn't bowl them in one over spells. In fact, you probably had to bowl them in four or five over spells at least.
Yeah.
So the kind of psychology of the game has changed in that way. I think for the good. I mean, I think it's good to have that flexibility and expect that flexibility from your bowlers. Mm. Now, having said that, some bowlers do need to build up pressure on a batsman by bowling for a period of time, especially if they're extremely accurate medium pacers or accurate spinners. They need to have time at a bowler, at a batsman, to work him out, to pin him down, to make him do something desperate. They can't easily or regularly bowl in two-over spells or three-over spells. They need a bit longer. There's also the question of people who you bowl for too long. Sometimes a fast bowler thinks he wants to keep bowling, but actually he's lost that sparkle. And if you bowl him too long in his first spell, he can't easily come back later in the innings. So, I mean, we used to think, for example, with Bob Willis, that probably seven overs was about optimum. Mm. And when he was fit and strong and well, he could probably bowl 3 7-over spells in the day and still be bowling pretty much as fast at the end of the day as he was at the beginning. Ian Botham could bowl, if he was taking wickets, could bowl 12 over spells or even longer. Spinners can often bowl very long spells. But there again, even with spinners, their fingers get tired. I often used to think that if batsmen got stuck against two spinners on a pitch where it's turning a lot, it was a very good thing to take one of them off or take each of them off for a while, for 20 minutes or half an hour, get his fingers, have a rest, let him come back fresh with a new approach. So again, you can't lay down rules, but you can have general guidelines. You know, your fast bowler's maximum, unless he's taken 7 wickets for 20, is probably 7 overs, 6 or 7 overs, depending on fitness and the length of the match. Your medium pacer might be able to bowl for longer. Your spinner certainly can bowl for longer. But sometimes they need to bowl, as I say, you try somebody for an over or two and nothing's happened. We played a test match against Pakistan, I think it must have been 1978. And the pitch, we scored a lot of runs in our first innings, and the pitch was very good for batting. And we thought there was going to be a lot of bowling to be done by the spinners, and I put the spinners on the next morning. Mm-hmm. And somebody noticed that as the ball pitched at 11 o'clock on the morning, it made a little green mark on the pitch. Mm. So we thought, well, look, we better try the seamer, you know, because that green mark means there's just a little bit of moisture. Maybe it'll move off the seam. It wasn't doing anything particularly for the spinner in that first over or two. Mm. Brought Ian Botham on. I think that's when he took 8 for 21. But I wasn't expecting him to bowl, at least not to start with. So you've got to be open to surprise.
Again, if you guys want to purchase the course, please visit pitchvision.com/academy. I think it's time we get into our questions, David.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Welcome to the question section of the My Cricket Coach Show. Our first one for today is from Top Shotters, someone who calls himself Top Shotters. And he or she is someone, they have a question that I think most of us have, David. And they ask, I've been experiencing a bad patch this season with a bat, and I don't know what is the cause. I was wondering, what should I do to recover? Now, David, I've been having a bad patch for about 5 years, so I know you can't help me, but you might be able to help Top Shotters. Is this a mental thing?
Yeah, it definitely is. What form basically boils down to is how you're feeling and how everything's working. And that is mainly to do with the mind. Of course, it's to do with the body as well. It's to do with the connection between the mind and the body.
Yeah.
But the mind is the thing you can focus on, really, and that will get you back into form, because form isn't something which is like an external force. It's not some mystical, it's not some god, you know, touching you with the magic of form and then suddenly taking it away again. It's something that you've got control over. So if, as long as you know that, as long as you know that you are the one that's in control of your form or not, you can go and do something about it. And that, those things, I would say there's probably three things that you could do to get yourself back into form if you're out of form. One is practice properly, practice with a purpose. If you've got technical faults, get rid of the technical faults. If you haven't got technical faults, if it's a more of a mental thing, practice under pressure. Practice in the way that you know is going to get you back into form. It may be that you have to play practice matches to get yourself back into form, or where someone else might need to have hundreds and hundreds of throwdowns to get themselves back into form. It depends what the issue is, but you need to identify that issue and then work on it. From the mental side of it, I would say that you would want to visualize the time when you were in form. Think about how that felt. Think about, if you're a batsman, thinking about middling the ball. If you're a bowler, thinking about hitting the wicketkeeper's gloves really hard if you're a fast bowler. Those kind of things. And visualization is a very powerful tool, and you can find out more about that on the Pitch Vision Academy mental training course if you want to have a guide to why visualization works and also how you can do visualization for yourself. And the third thing I would say is that you want to reduce any of the external stresses that are happening on your life. So make sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure that your nutrition is in order. Make sure that you're not training too hard. Make sure that you are training, so you're not avoiding the fitness side of things. You want to get the balance right there. Make sure that you're... The stressful things that in your life are under control. So those are the three things that I would say. So those are the things you can control. Those are the things you can do something about, and keep working at it. And remember that form is not something that is an external thing which comes to you one day and goes from you the next day. If you're consistent, if your preparation is consistent, and your planning is consistent, then your form should be consistent as well, because you're the one in control of it.
Yeah, if you think of a more recent example, David, especially in Australian cricket, Michael Hussey comes to mind, and he was sort of hailed as the next Bradman when he started, but then all of a sudden fatigue started it, and then he started losing his form. And then after that, I read recently that after he did get refreshed, it was his mind that was controlling him. He started having a few bad scores, and then he started doubting himself. And it's situations like those when you need players to sort of be positive. And I know it's hard to say, hard to really become positive, but positive thinking really helps a lot in form, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree completely. It is about your mindset completely. I'll give you an example from the game that we played at the weekend. We had lots of people... away for various reasons, and then two or three people dropped out as well. We were scrabbling around to raise 11 players, so we were in a bit of a rush. It was an away game, which was quite a long way away, so we're all in a bit of a rush. We finally set off, and we realised that we were one player short. He hadn't arrived, and we'd forgotten about him, and we'd set off without him. So we had 10 players. We thought, we've got a week inside anyway. We get there late because we left late. So we couldn't do hardly any warm-ups at all. We had probably about 5 minutes of warm-ups. So, and then we fielded. So we were straight out into the field. It felt really weird. You know, we hadn't done any preparation. The team were not regular players. And luckily, the 11th player did turn up, so that was good. But it was stressful and fast, and it just felt weird. And then we fielded really badly. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
I think that was
probably because it was also rushed, that it didn't feel like we were ready. And that's a perfect example, and your Hussey example is a perfect example as well. If you do things in the wrong way, then you can't be surprised if you are out of form.
Please don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, guys. Just hook up your iPod and pop the podcast on. If you guys have any questions or feedback, please email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. This is Kevin Sampath from Australia signing off.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.
The My Cricket Coach Show is a copyright-protected production for Pitch Vision. For more information, please visit pitchvision.com.